today being the third word of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. We are taking these visualizations just to be able to get a better understanding as to what could have happened on the cross when Jesus was hanging and the way in which he might have spoken. For today's portion, let's read from the Gospel according to John, the disciple whom he loved. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. Altogether, please, shall we read this together as it is projected? When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Let's read this in other languages. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. Telugu. Yesu tana talliyu tanu preminchina shishyudunu daggara nilichundu chuchi, "Amma, idigo nee kumarudu," ani tana tallito cheppanu. Tarvata shishyunu chuchi, "ఇదిగో నీ తల్లి" అని చెప్పాను. ఆ గడియ నుండి ఆ శిష్యుడు ఆమెను తన ఇంట చేర్చుకొనెను. Let's read this in Urdu language, please.
యేసు నే అప్నీ మా ఔర్ ఉస్ శాగిర్ద్ కో జిస్ సే మహబ్బత్ రఖతా థా పాస్ ఖడే దేఖ్ కర్ మా సే కహా, "ఐ ఔరత్, దేఖ్ తేరా బేటా యే హై." ఔర్ ఫిర్ శాగిర్ద్ సే కహా, "దేఖ్ తేరీ మా యే హై." ఔర్ ఉసీ వక్త్ से वो शागिर्द अपने घर ले गया.
Thank you. Tamil.
அப்பொழுது இயேசு தம்முடைய தாயையும் அருகே நின்ற தமக்கு அன்பாயிருந்த சீசனையும் கண்டு தம்முடைய தாயை நோக்கி, "ஸ்திரியே, அதோ உன் மகன்" என்றார். பின்பு அந்த சீசனை நோக்கி, "அதோ உன் தாய்" என்றார். அந்நேரத்தில் அந்த சீசன் அவளை தன்னிடமாய் ஏற்றுக்கொண்டான்.
Do that in Hindi. यीशु ने अपनी माता और उस चेले से जिससे प्रेम करता था पास खड़े देखकर अपनी माता से कहा, "हे नारी, देख, ये तेरा पुत्र है." तब उस चेले से कहा, "यह तेरी मां है." और उसी समय से वह चेला उसे अपने घर ले गया. मे द लॉर्ड ब्लेस द रीडिंग ऑफ दिस पोर्शन. ट्राइंग टू अंडरस्टैंड द इम्पोर्टेंस ऑफ these statements of Jesus Christ on the cross. Though they were kind of two statements, they are typically, when we meditate upon it, they are meditated together. Jesus spoke to two different people in this particular passage from 19, the chapter 26 and 27. One to his mother and the other to his disciple. To his mother, he said, "Woman, behold your son." And to the disciple, he said, "Behold your mother." We have entitled this sermon as a relationship. As we look into the scriptural portion, may we understand better in terms of what is going on here. If you have your Bibles, we greatly request you to have your Bibles open to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Just from a context perspective, at what time this could have been, if you remember, the last two sermons or the two words, last words of Jesus on the cross was taken from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 23, and those are the verses from which we had taken. And the third saying is taken from John chapter 19. And here we see something that has happened. Verse 23. Verse 23 of John chapter 19. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his outer garments and made four parts, a part to every soldier, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece, one tunic, one long robe. And so they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to decide whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, "They divided my outer garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Even when it comes to the clothing of Jesus, there were scriptures that were fulfilled. Do you see that? Even from a perspective of the things that were happening, we might think, big deal. They made it into four parts. Maybe there were multiple parts of that outer garments. And the tunic, it was one piece. So even that part, there was a scripture fulfillment. Something to be able to really recognize here. Every saying of Jesus Christ so far, we have been looking at it in terms of the scripture fulfillment also. How he was interceding for the transgressors. How he was numbered among the transgressors. And even to the extent of these garments as well. So when they cast the lots, verse 25, therefore the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother. There were casting lots for these garments. Some people try to speculate this. It is not written in the Bible. But some people speculate this, that while their garments were, they were trying to cast lots regarding his garments. Usually during that time, mothers used to stitch or sew the clothes of the children. And when they wear it, they tend to remember their mother, how much struggle they have made in order to be able to stitch or sew the clothes. So that particular garment that they were trying to play around with, putting the dice and casting lots to know who should get it, suddenly he remembered, Mom, you must, you see these cloths, the cloths that I was wearing? See what's happening with these cloths. Probably something like that could have happened. We don't know. It was just a speculation. But at that particular moment of time, from a contextual perspective, if you see, the soldiers did these. And then suddenly the story moves on towards saying, Jesus then saw his mother. Verse 25, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother's sister Mary, wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. All them, his mother's name is Mary. And his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. If you read the book of Matthew and Mark as well, it talks about these women, primarily mentioning that there was a mother of the sons of Zebedee in the book of Mark. They tell the name of that mother who was the sons of the Zebedee, who is Salome. So these are all the various people that were at the cross, near the cross, in a sense, actually to be precise in verse 25, but standing by the cross were these various people. Multiple Marys. My wife, her first name is Mary. Her sister's name is Mary. First name. Her mother's name is Mary, Mary Prasuna. And her mother's name is Mary. And her father's sister's names are starting with Mary. Lot of Marys. When I was reading here, I was getting reminded of all this. For that matter, my sister's name is also, first name is Mary. Lot of Marys in our families. And here when I was reading through it, it's all Marys, 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 Marys. Which Mary we are talking here? And also for that matter, when I was reading through the book of Mark, it talks about Salome as well, as one of the women who were standing by the cross. All these people were standing by the cross. But notice in verse 26. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. Saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. There were different kinds of people. Some of the disciples ran away. They didn't even stand near the cross, or at least from the visibility of the cross. And there were some of these women who were standing by the cross. And in verse 26, there were two people. They were standing near the cross. If you read other languages, it says clearly in another language, I'll pick up Telugu, where it says, Yesu tana talliyu tanu praminchina shishudnu daggara niluchundru chuchi, standing near to the cross. When I was watching some videos related to this last sayings of Jesus, the mother was kind of holding on to the vertical part of the cross. looking at Jesus from his foot, standing near at the foot of the cross. Two people. Something to recognize here. In verse 26, Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. The first aspect of understanding about this particular sermon can be understood by reading another scriptural portion from Ephesians chapter 2. Please open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Keep your John chapter 19 handy so that you can come back to it. But we will refer to other verses. Please read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. Now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Note it down. In please note it down. You have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And you can note it down in the interest of time. You can note down one down. We are starting with down and then across, okay? Something different from the previous sermons. One down, please note down nearness. Nearness. Very important that we should understand the nearness. How near are you to the cross of Calvary? How near are you? Jesus was looking at his mother and his disciple standing nearby while people were going away from the cross of Jesus Christ. There were these two people who were standing near. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 that you who have been far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. He brought us near to him. Something to be able to recognize here. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, therefore let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Experiencing the mercy and grace of God in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, let us draw near with confidence. Let us draw near with confidence. Even for that matter, it says in verse Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. What does it say? Hebrews chapter 7.
Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost.
He is able to save to the uttermost.
Those who come to God.
Those who come to God are drawn near to God. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. When he was dying, he was making intercession for them. And now he lives. And let us draw near to God through him. And constantly speaking about the nearness. The nearness to God. How close are you to God? I'm asking you today. The Bible says through the blood of Jesus Christ, he brought us near to him. He has enabled us to be brought near those of us who are far away. Far away, trying to go away from the cross of Jesus Christ. We are trying to be brought closer to Jesus Christ. There's a song which says, I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice. And it told thy love to me. But I long to rise with the arms of faith. And be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord. To the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy bleeding side. How many times we sing this song? Draw me nearer, draw me nearer. Do we do that? Do we really have that experience? In those days, it was physically they were near the cross. I'm not trying to say go now. To the Golgotha, go to the Calvary and find the cross where Jesus was crucified. Go and stand there near the cross. I'm not saying that.
People may speculate that this is a place that Jesus was crucified, and they try to go there. Well and good to have a better understanding or have a thought process towards it. But the most important part that you and I need to experience here is how close are we to the cross where Christ has died for us. In the dream that John Bunyan got, where he wrote a book on the Pilgrim's Progress, he was carrying the burden of sin on his back all the while, trying to search at what place can he get deliverance from that weight. And the moment he comes to the cross, when he reaches near the cross, his burden of sin that he was carrying rolled away. All the burden of my sin rolled away at the cross of Jesus Christ. Are you thinking about the cross as a symbol of Christianity and trying to say that is what it is? It is about them. Or are you really considering what happened on the cross where Jesus Christ was hanging at that time? Why did he hang on the cross? He was hanging on the cross for your sake and my sake, my dear. Nothing of what he has done. He did not do any sin. He had no sin. He knew no sin. But he was crucified on the cross. And as he was being crucified on the cross, to be able to know that why was he being crucified on the cross? To draw nearer to the cross, my dear. Today, if you want to remember this sermon, question yourself, am I close enough to the cross of Jesus Christ where he died for me? To be able to understand the love that he has shown towards me. To be able to understand the mercy of God, that we were supposed to be punished, but he took that punishment and died for us on the cross. The grace that he has shown towards us so that we may have the gift of eternal life. Nearness. Nearness is very important, my dear. The nearness to the cross of Jesus Christ made Jesus speak to those people. There were many people. There were some who were so far away, trying to run away from the cross of Jesus Christ. There were some who were standing there. But there were two people who were standing close, near to the cross. As we stand near to the cross, there are words of Jesus Christ that came out of his mouth in order to be able to speak to both the people who were standing near the cross. The nearness to the cross of Jesus Christ enables us to be able to experience the words of Jesus Christ speaking to us. It is not about just meditation of this as a ritual for us to study on the seven sayings of Jesus Christ. But it is more important, if at all you have never thought about it, about the nearness to the cross of Jesus Christ. How close are you to Jesus Christ? How close are you to Jesus Christ and the cross where he has died? Are you trying to follow him from a distance? How long will you try to follow him from a distance? Come closer, my dear. Come close to Jesus Christ. He wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you. And Jesus spoke these two words. And as he was speaking, let us note the second aspect about this as well, that as he was speaking, about speaking to his mother, he first spoke to his mother. I'm sure there could have been a mixed feelings. He is God himself who came down as a human being, but he was born to his mother. The Bible says that you need to keep up your relationships. You need to care for your family. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 22. Please read.
Listen to your father who begot you.
Do not despise your mother when she is old. These are the Proverbs. I'm sure Jesus might have read through it as a child as well. And not only because of reading through it, because he is God himself. As a human being, when he was dying on the cross of Calvary, he knew that his mother was there. He had that bonding as well. I'm sure he must be having it. And also the Bible says here, to be able to care for your parents. Listen to your father. Do not despise your mother when she's old. History says, by the time Jesus was 30 years old, or maybe earlier than that, that the earthly father of Jesus, Joseph the carpenter, must have died. And most likely, his mother Mary was a widow at that time. We will see a little from the angle of Mary, the mother of Jesus. From the book of Luke, you know, it looks as if it is being talked from a Christmas perspective. But one thing we could understand here is she was in her teens, most likely, when the angel came and told that she would conceive through the power of the Holy Spirit of God to give birth to a son whom she should name him as Jesus. He's the one who is going to save the people from their sins. And Jesus, and the similar words were spoken to Joseph as well, so that he would take Mary as his wife. And now, she says in Luke chapter 1 itself, in verse 47, she says, "My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior." She knew Jesus means God, Jehovah, who is the Savior. And she was able to say, "My soul rejoiced, my spirit rejoiced in God, my Savior." And in chapter 2, we notice the birth of Jesus Christ. And in the birth of Jesus Christ as well, the shepherds were told about this good news, and shepherds come. And they were able to really rejoice about this. And they made a great statement, telling many people about the birth of Jesus Christ. And verse 18, all who heard it, chapter 2 and verse 18, Luke 2:18, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Notice verse 19. Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. From the time of the birth of Jesus Christ, Mary was seeing everything that was happening in the life of Jesus Christ, her son whom she gave birth to. She pondered, she treasured all these things in her heart. Something is happening. Something unique is happening about this child. Something unique is happening about this child. There are songs that are sung as well. Mary, did you know that a child who is born of you will walk on water? We don't know whether she knew everything about it, but definitely according to the scriptures that are written, she treasured the things that as she was seeing, that she was sensing there is something going on. And then at the age of 8 days, in verse 21, before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, and then he was brought into the temple of God. And when he was brought in, there was a man by name Simeon. He talks that, "I was waiting to see this child. I wanted to see the one who is going to provide salvation." Verse 30, "My eyes have seen your salvation." And then, verse 33, "And his father and his mother were amazed at the things that were said about Jesus Christ." Now let us notice in verse 34. Verse 34. Please read. Yeah, continue.
"Yes, the sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed."
Behold, this child is destined or appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel.
Verse 35. "And a sword will pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." A sword will pierce even your own soul. Simeon told that to Mary. Something was going on. Mary was pondering over all these things that were happening. And she heard this statement. I'm sure she must not have forgotten this statement. "A sword will pierce even your own soul."
As the sword was being pierced in the side of Jesus Christ when he was hanging on the cross of Calvary, Mary must have been going through, "Oh, what is going on with Jesus Christ?" And she must have remembered this verse to the extent As Jesus was growing, in the same chapter 2, Jesus became 12 years. It was a quick fast forward from 8 days from the birth to 8 days to 12 years. And Jesus was in the Jerusalem temple at the feast of the Passover when he was 12 years old. And they could not find Jesus. They'd left, and then they realized that they did not have Jesus along with them to go back to Nazareth. And then they come back. And then in verse 48, Mary speaks to Jesus. They were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. Behold, your father and I have been anxiously waiting for you." Suddenly, Jesus remembered, I'm sure. You're talking about my earthly father or my heavenly father? And he says, Jesus says in verse 49, he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" He was more focused on his father's business, not a family business. He was focused on his father's business, and that is in the house of the Lord. I'm sure Mary must have thought, wow, yeah. I was saying your father and I were searching for you. Now you're saying my father. So slowly and steadily, Mary must have gone through a series of understanding about who this Jesus is and the purpose for which he had come into this world, to the extent of something else happening to the extent of, you see, in verse 51. He went down with them and came to Nazareth. He continued in subjection to them, and his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Mary treasured these things in her heart. So many times it's repeatedly mentioned about Mary treasuring these things in her heart. Not the things of this world as a treasure in her heart, but she was treasuring what was going on with this child, this unique child that was born through her womb, in order to be able to see how the shepherds came. She treasured this in her heart. When Simeon said, she must have gone through, "Oh, what is going to happen to me as well at that time?" And then, when Jesus was 12 years old, what has happened as well? She treasured these in her heart. And now let us fast forward again to the age 30 of Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. Now let's jump to John chapter 2. This is a story where they all attend a wedding at Cana. This was in Galilee, close to Nazareth, the city of Nazareth, Cana. Jesus and his disciples were invited for the wedding, and they ran out of the thing that they were supposed to provide to all the guests, this wine or the grape juice, people tend to translate it to. Here we notice that she told the disciples of Jesus Christ, and what happened was she came over. Let us see that. Verse 3, when the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Verse 4, and Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." Slowly and steadily, Mary was sensing certain things that were going on. He is now in public ministry. Jesus is now in public ministry. And he was involved in along with his disciples. They were invited to a wedding. No doubt his family members were there, including his mother. And he had to tell her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." A lot of times when this translation was done, it is translated as "woman." In the current English, or the way in which we speak, the word "woman," if you address someone as "woman," it is kind of a derogatory term. Even forget about mothers, even to a regular woman, to say "woman," it sounds a little odd. But if you look at other translations, probably in Telugu translation, it says "amma, amma," meaning out of respect he was saying it. He was saying it out of respect, though it is translated as "woman." In Greek, it is "gynae." Gynecology has come from that word, "gynae." The word "woman," to be able to express that, was not something that was told with any less disrespect. He was fully showing forth his respect, but at the same time, his focus and attention was waiting on the Father's time. His purpose of coming into this world was to be in the Father's house, to be involved in the Father's business, and to be able to do the will of the Father, to be able to do the work of the Father, and to be able to wait for the timing of the Father. So he was able to clearly say, my hour has not yet come. To that, did Mother Mary get offended? At least when we read through this, I don't seem to understand here, because in verse 5, she just says, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. That was a kind of way in which Mary took it. She knew this child that was born to her is not an ordinary child, the one who is going to save the world from their sins. And slowly and steadily, there was a progressive revelation towards Mary as well as to who this Jesus was, to the extent of being able to try to influence Jesus by her words. But Jesus wanted to make sure that her time is not what it is, but the time is of the Father. My hour has not yet come. Not to be influenced by the earthly relationships, but to be more influenced by the spiritual relationship as well. So that is what we learn about Jesus with Mary. While Jesus started his ministry, I do not know how he addressed Mary for the first 30 years of his life. He must have addressed her as mother or mom, amma, ma. I don't know how he addressed. But here in the public ministry, he started off making a mention, woman, what does that have to do with us? There was a new relationship between Jesus and Mary as he entered into public ministry. Mary lost a son, but she found a savior. To be able to recognize that it's more than a son and mother relationship. It is a savior and a sinner relationship. Probably she might have sensed it to the extent, as it is recorded in Matthew chapter 12. Please look at Matthew chapter 12. Verse 46 onwards, listen to this carefully. Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 onwards. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and his brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Jesus was very busy in the public ministry. His mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. Verse 47, someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. Verse 48, but Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, behold my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. Do you see this? A new relationship is established. A relationship that is beyond an earthly relationship that the Bible talks about. And that new relationship had to be told by Jesus Christ in order to let people recognize, yes, of course, I have my earthly relationships. But who is my brother? Who is my mother? Who is my sister? Verse 50, whoever does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Will of my Father who is in heaven. He is my brother and sister and mother. What a wonderful statement that is. That is what the focus on relationship I'm talking about right now. The relationship, as a sermon title today, is talking about something that you and I need to recognize here about that relationship. Let us read another scriptural portion from Luke chapter 8. Let's see how Luke recorded the similar kind of an incident that has happened in Luke chapter 8. Verse 19, please read Luke chapter 8 and verse 19. Because of the crowd, they were not able to approach him. Now, let's read it. Yes.
Hmm.
My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. Please note it down. Down the second point. My mother and brothers are those who hear and do the word of God. That is the relationship. When we call each other as brothers and sisters, you might think, oh, why? What is this? This seems to be ridiculous. This doesn't seem to be practical. How can we avoid our earthly relationships? Let me just share with you, my dear brothers and sisters. There is an earthly relationship, there is eternal relationship. Earthly relationships, of course, the Bible says that we need to take care of father and mother to the extent of being able not to despise them. But when it comes to relationships, even Mary had to have this new relationship. And Jesus had to be able to say again, my mother and brothers are those who hear and do the word of God. Are you hearing the word of God right now? Are you obeying the word of God? Are you doing the word of God in terms of obeying? Those are the people whom Jesus is saying. Those are the people who are my mother and brothers. Please note it down. Two down is relationship. A new relationship that is established. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, male or female, slave or master. The Bible says once we are in Christ, we have that new relationship that is established to be able to call each other as a family of God. Last Friday, we were having a discussion about the gratitude challenge, about what are you thankful for. And some of us were saying, I'm thankful to God for my family. I'm thankful to God for my church family or my spiritual family. Why? Because they are my fellow brothers and sisters. To be able to say, yes, you are so-and-so's brother, but you are my brother in the Lord. You are so-and-so's mother, but you are my mother in the Lord. Do you see that? Such kind of relationship, which is a new and renewed relationship in Christ, is being established when he was talking to those people who were standing near to the cross, as they kept themselves near to the cross. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is very important for us to understand this aspect about relationship. He did not neglect his mother. He looked at his mother. Probably he was looking at the clothes that his mother has stitched and how they were casting lots to get rid of those clothes. And he looked at his mother. His mother standing and looking up to him, having a mixed feelings, a motherly feeling, the one who gave birth to that child. And also looking at him as a savior, the one who saves her from her sins. She was looking at him with mixed feelings, I suppose. Which mother likes to see their child dying? No mother can take it. Already she lost her husband, as history says. Now, the oldest son is dying on the cross. The kind of feelings that she might be going through. Jesus did not neglect her. He instead told her, yes, you were considering me all this while as your son. I have come to accomplish the will of the Father. I have gotten into this public ministry. So he prepared her. From the time at the wedding at Cana, to be able to address her as woman, to see a new relationship that is being established. And then, when he was going to die, he took care of his responsibility to be able to pass it on to the other person who was standing near the cross. The disciple whom Jesus loved. He is called as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He is none other than John, the author of this gospel. He was standing by the cross, near to the cross, along with her. And he told his mother, behold your son. Behold your son. See, behold your son. That relationships, yes, no doubt, there is a blood relationship that we talk about. There is much beyond the earthly blood relationship that is
the blood of Jesus Christ relationship. And that new relationship was being established when Jesus told Mary, behold your son. Look at him. Can you look at him as your son? I'm going to die. I'm going to leave this place. Look at him. Behold your son. To be able to let Mary recognize that it is not just earthly bloodly relationships, but it is eternal relationships that are established, to be able to connect to this John who was standing nearby. Behold your son. He didn't just say one-sided statement. He spoke to John as well. And he said to his disciple, John, I told my mother, behold your son. Now listen to me, John. Verse 27. He said to his disciple, behold your mother. Behold your mother. Behold your mother. Let us note it down in a cross, the third item from Romans chapter 15 and verse 7. Accept one another just as Christ also accepted us. Accept one another. In some English translations, it uses the word receive. Receive one another just as Christ also received us. He gave that statement. He made that statement to his disciple, saying, behold your mother. Accept her as your mother. She is going to sense that I'm going to go away, but you don't make her feel that way. Which mother can be able to accept it? With humanly emotional motherly treatment, I doubt she would be able to accept him, or for that matter, for him to accept her as his mother, because already he has his mother. James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Who was the mother of James and John? Salome. Now, Jesus is telling, behold your mother. Now John has to take care of two mothers. Yes. John had to take care of his earthly mother and the mother relationship that Jesus established with him. Accept one another. Many times, oh, how can I accept this person into my life? How can I accept this person into my life? I already have enough responsibilities. God gave, Jesus Christ gave this, note it down, responsibility. Responsibility. Responsibilities come with memberships in the family of God. As and when you are part of the family of God, you take up responsibilities within the family of God. We tend to use the word responsible for many purposes in terms of ministry, responsible brothers for this ministry, for that ministry, etc. What is this responsibility we are talking about? What is this responsibility? Jesus Christ gave the responsibility to John to take care of his mother. It says in same verse, verse 27, and from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Not after Jesus really died, after everything has happened, from that very hour, the disciple took her to his own home. From that moment on, he treated her as his mother. You see that? Those relationships are not blood relationships, need not be blood relationships for that matter. It could be, it could have been. As a cousins, etc., there could have been. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He gave that responsibility to John to take care of his mother. And immediately we see an implicit obedience to that. And from that hour, not waiting for another day or few hours, from that hour itself, the disciple took her to his own home. Wonderful. Accepting one another just as Christ also has accepted us. Why should he accept us into his family to start with? Who are we? Are we worthy of being part of the family of God? No. So when we are part of the family of God, take that responsibilities that God is giving. Responsibility is to respond to his ability.
Responsibility is responding to his ability. That is what responsibility is. It is not about your ability. When you are given a responsibility, how do you respond to his ability? Relying on his ability. To be able to have that relationship as a mother, as a sister, or family relationships, or whatever, if God has given you that responsibility, you need to respond trusting in his ability. Do you see that? Isn't it wonderful to be able to take such responsibilities? Don't get afraid. Don't be scared of responsibilities. But if you are given that responsibility, last Friday also we were meditating, take heed. Take heed to the ministry that you are called and fulfill it. Take heed to the responsibility that you are given in the family of God and fulfill it. Don't try to shy away. At that very hour, the disciple took her. Taking care of each other, he is also part of the family of God. And we notice there is something that has happened. At a later point of time, Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again. And he ascended into heaven. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, let's pick up the book of Acts, chapter 1. After Jesus ascended into heaven, Jesus said, wait for the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And then in verse 12, it says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. Listen to this carefully. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is Peter. Who is the second person? Peter and John. And James, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. Verse 14. These all, with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. What a wonderful statement this is. What was going on? What was going on here? After so many days, when Jesus ascended into heaven, did John neglect Mary? No. John was in a prayer meeting. Did he neglect Mary? No. Along with all the disciples, the Bible says in verse 14, they were all with one mind, with continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women, and the Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I'm sure after that it says, and with his brothers. Brothers also got changed. But you see, the last point that I can note is 1 John 1:7. Walk in the light and have fellowship with one another. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. As you walk in the light, as he is in the light, as you spend time in prayer, focusing on God to be able to reveal his will in our lives, as we spend time devoting ourselves in prayer, walking in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin and we'll have fellowship with one another, let me tell you. So the last point, I'm sure by now you know what it is fellowship. The relationship was established because of nearness. To coming closer to the cross of Jesus Christ. And to be able to have that relationship, a renewed new relationship, where responsibilities are given in the family of God. And as part of those responsibilities, not to neglect fellowship. Not to neglect prayer time together. Mary was with them. It was not that, oh, my son died. I cannot stay with you. No. She stayed. She constantly stayed along with his disciples of Jesus Christ, because she herself was one of the disciples. Not to exalt Mary, not to worship Mary, but to take her as an example that even Mary needed a savior. If Mary could need a savior, you and I need a savior. We need that new relationship. We need to establish that new relationship, my dear. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord.
Near the Cross is one of the most loved hymns by Fanny Crosby. Fanny Crosby, a blind woman who happened to write the songs. Near the Cross is one of Crosby's most loved hymns. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed its beams around me. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows over me. Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. Jesus, keep me near the cross. May the Lord bless this word.